How did that work? Did they, like, that's where they work?
Mm-hmm.
For the,
you, where you live.
Did they rent it?
You rented from the coal company, bought your groceries from them. And they had a type of money, too, that they controlled. The coal company had their own script. And you had, and each worker could have a script card. And every day he could go to the company office and draw out his script and spend it in the company store or his groceries. That way, you know, they had a like a monopoly on everything. They provided for you right there. But, you know, so many people didn't have cars. They could have gone maybe to the city and bought groceries. Bigger grocery stores and chain grocery stores, but most people bought from the coal company. It was like, you know, they gave me a job right back from them. And the way my grandmother did, the way she was paid, every man that stayed with her, she kept his script card. And every day she drew his board for that day. Because it was like kind of like a transit thing, too, that you had to worry about. That, you know, they might be there today and gone on to a better job the next day. But there were a lot of reliable people. There were people that stayed with us, that lived with us the whole time. That my grandmother operated that, which she operated about like 15 years.
How much was it to stay there?
Well, when they first, when she first started, it was like $1 a day for three meals. And she, and you, Bethany, I don't know if you've ever seen the aluminum dinner buckets that the coal miners used to carry.
I think so.
Your grandfather might have one hanging in his basement. Well, we had, there was times when we had to fix 13 of those in the morning. Now, some people stayed with us, worked at the office, you know, for the coal company. We had one man that stayed with us for 15 years my grandmother operated, that he worked in the office for the coal company. And see, I worked in the store and the office. And I was there, too, and there was two or three, you know, that, that was not all miners. One time, they built a road through there, and all the people who worked on the road, you know, like their foreman, they stayed with their grandmother. And it was kind of like a hotel.
Yeah.
Really, you'd say it was what we'd call it, a little hotel today. And she, we had to fix all those lunches for the men. And let's see, before the union, it seems like they might have left the house about 4:30 to go to work until the 9. And they only made like, because when I started to work, I made $3.50 a day, and I made more than most of the coal miners made, which was really not fair, you know. But then they began to get more. Like, they got up to $5 a day, which was really great, you know.
And that went on the card.
And that, well, then at the end of the month, if they hadn't drawn all out, see how it was like each little card was kind of like a little bookkeeping system for that man. And if he hadn't drawn all out that he had worked, he could draw payday. And a lot of them drew paydays, you know. A lot of them were real good managers, and our coal company had real nice houses. They just had real pretty little houses in a row, all painted the same color, you know. And it's just, and like I said, you know, they had the community hall where they had the entertainment for the kids, and just a good company to be with. And I worked with them till I married. When I was 18 or so.
What kind of class was the people that lived in Montana?
Well, there were those who wanted to be educated. With those who went to college. Some of our family went to college, and it was real hard to do. It was real. And then there were those who just were always overdrawn at the script office, you know, and written some.
It was just different.
It was different kind of people. But the man who owned the coal company that we were with, he was real careful to hire, what do you call, quality people. And this is a thing you could not let happen today, but there was a coal camp above us where they hired Polish people. And they had some of my best friends would see, they got on the same school bus and went on to the high school with us, and some of my best friends were those Polish kids, and they were very intelligent. They were just, and I know a lot of them that, that they got to go on to school because they worked and went to school. They were very thrifty people. They were just, but they were the best coal miners you could get. See, and that's why that coal company hired them. They hired them for production, because families were they did not provide as good a housing for them. See, coal companies were different. You know, that was just a, my company's better than your company. That was your status. And a lot of people like to work for those companies, you know, mm-hmm. and they did. And, I remember in high school, our valedictorian was one of the Polish girls. And they were, and that was good. And they call them names, though. They call them Polaks. Mm-hmm. They call them from or Hungarians, and they call them hunkies. I don't know. You may not want to.
Do they have an accent?
Mm-hmm. Their parents sometimes couldn't speak English. But what was so great about them, and when I look back on them, there was one family that were their name was Popovich, mm-hmm. and they were vicious and bitches. Popovich, Manovich, Popovich, Univich, were their names, and the kids used to say everything but the dirty word bitch.
Oh, yeah.
And they were cruel to them. But now when we first moved to West Virginia, they were cruel to us. They did not accept us. They called us Alabama coon jiggers.
Mm.
And they mocked our accent, you know. And
they have a northern accent.
They have, West Virginia has a unique brogue. It's, they say washing and orning. You know,
yeah.
They have, uh-huh. And I know we were dared to say that. But we were just dared. You must not, you don't orn and you don't wash. But I love the people in West Virginia. They are mountaineers. They are hillbillies. But they are wonderful people. They are just loving people. They're friendly people. They're sharing people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're a mix, too. They're kind of like where we live. It's kind of like a melting pot, you know. Like I said,
mm-hmm.
where I went to school, we had to work hard to keep ahead of the hunkies, you know,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
they were smart. And I look back and I'm so glad, you know, that was a part of our heritage, and
mm-hmm.
that was a part of what today you would have to respect, mm-hmm. but we didn't have to, you know, be
mm-hmm.
cruel.
mm-hmm.
But we also had a black community in our town, and they were kind of like isolated from our residences,
mm-hmm.
but their houses were nice. They were as nice as ours. Our company was good. Now, every coal company was not good. Like I said, the Hungarian people, sometimes they put them up another holler, you know, where their houses were not. And there was like prejudice there,
mm-hmm.
at that far back. And,
where did they work?
At the coal mines.
Did they all, it was almost like a coal mine for
white people? Well, like when you went up, started up Paint Creek, you would travel a while and you would come to a mining town.
Mm-hmm.
Just be a little settlement. Like, you know, the mountains are very steep and they come down into a hollow. And usually there's a creek, and usually that's why they have floods too.
Mm-hmm.
Their houses were built all along that. Now, you know, most of that's gone now. When I go back up there, towns that were just really thriving towns are gone. They're just not there. Where I went to high school, there was a row of stone houses, and last time I went back to a reunion for the high school, the stone houses were gone. I don't know where they went. I don't know how they destroyed the gray stone houses.
Yeah.
They were gone. I asked somebody, I said, where are all the houses gone? They said, well, people bought them and moved them, or just tore them down for the material that was in them, that just whole towns or communities
yeah.
were torn away. And now you ride for miles in that area where I grew up, and you don't see a house. But West Virginia Turnpike goes right down through there now, and
mm-hmm.
they exit off of there in a lot of places where there are a few houses left, and where people bought the houses and kind of, like I'd say, restored them and made real pretty homes, especially the company officials' homes. A lot of those have been restored. And where we lived, the Turnpike took our house. The house in front of us has been restored to a very famous restaurant. And if we can go back, you know, to a reunion, we plan to. You have to have a reservation.
What's the name of it?
I don't know.
You know.
My cousin saw it in the Charleston Gazette, and she wrote and told us about it.
Mm-hmm.
We called it the Hogue House. The Hogues lived across the street from us. But the way the Turnpike came, it took our house. But they moved our house to another location, and we know where it is. We see
mm-hmm.
it. That was restored real pretty.
Oh, is it the boarding house?
No, this is, no, they tore the boarding house down. Okay. And I guess it was too big to move, but on the road where our house was, all of those houses were sold and moved to another location and made another pretty area down below, maybe 4 or 5 miles from where it was.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I went home, or up there, the coal company office and store was still standing, and there was some buildings, you know, for the mining part of the company. They were still standing, but now I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The coal company where we lived, they generated their own electricity and furnished all of their employees electricity before there was even electricity in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know that it was a good company too. I'm just real happy that I grew up there.
Yeah.
Even though it was hard, we called it hard times. It was. I don't remember any difficulty. Only a time or two I put cardboard in my shoes when I wore a hole in them. I did have to do that a few times, but that wasn't real bad. Only in the winter it was.
Yeah,
kind of
got cold. What did your family think of Herbert Hoover and?
Well, they felt like he caused the economy to fail, you know. Mm-hmm. But like I said, now I don't think, you know, history teaches that. I think that it was just a cycle of business and economy that the country went through.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he didn't know, or maybe, you know, the Congress might not have let him do the things that Roosevelt did. And Roosevelt came in, I think, with a big voice, you know, and a positive voice, and I can remember his speeches on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
We always gathered around to hear the president speak. And another thing too, it seems like back then people respected their leaders more than they do today. I find it real difficult to understand why people will talk about the president like they do, and accuse the president like they do. He's spending half the time clearing his name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But instead of serving the country, like I think he really could if he did.
Mm-hmm. What kind of medical care?
He had a company doctor. And if he were sick at our company, we had a company doctor. He served our company. And if you were sick, you went by the company office and you put your name down. You wanted a doctor visit. This is unique, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then here he came, and his name was Dr. Dr. Irvin. Dr. Irvin, I can see him yelling his face. He carried a little black bag, and had lots of pink pills.
Mm-hmm.
And the people loved him. You know, he was just like a hero in the community. He delivered all the babies. But if you were real sick, they sent you to the hospital in Charleston, West Virginia, because the coal company, you know, had carried an insurance with that hospital. Like if the person was hurt real seriously in the mines, they always took them to Charleston. And my tonsils removed at the Charleston General Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our medical.
What kind of medicine did you get, and how did you purchase?
The doctor just brought it in his bag and gave it to you when you needed some pink pills or some pink liquid or whatever you needed. Seems like it was. I know that was just kind of like a little thing that people said, oh, you'll get some pink pills.
Uh-huh.
But he was a good doctor. You know, he was just a general practitioner, and like I said, he delivered all the babies and stayed there all night until the babies were born.
So he just came in just for his services.
He didn't
live there or anything.
He lived in the area. He lived. He served two car companies. That's why he lived. It was kind of between the two. Mm-hmm. And he had a car all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he made night calls. Now I don't know how you got. You'd have to go get him. You know, that would be the only way you could get him at night. And the car company had a telephone. But people didn't have phones.